Perfect.
Thank
Good
you.
One.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the final Kapla Lunch and Learn for 2015. I'm Kathy Miller, CEO of Kapla. I think we have, you know, last I heard we had 160 people, but I think we had a lot of late registrations, and we've got more than 160 people here today, which is really great. So I thank you for coming out today, and I thank you for your support all year round. Before we get started, I just have a few housekeeping items to cover off. Would you first of all take your phones out right now and turn them off or turn them to vibrate? And I'll give you a moment to do that. Okay, in case of any emergency, if we're required to evacuate, please go out the main doors at the back, and our muster point is across the street in front of the Stock Exchange building. If you're mobility impaired, please remain in the room and the Petroleum Club staff will come and assist you. The washrooms are just out through the back door and to your right. I'd like to take a moment right now to acknowledge Geologic Systems, our sponsor for today. Geologic has been a supporter of Kapla for a number of years, and this year I'm really pleased to say that they really stepped up and increased their sponsorship and support of Kapla dramatically. Thank you. Yes. So Geologic is not only the sponsor of today's Lunch and Learn, but they have agreed to sponsor all of our Lunch and Learns next year, which is really tremendous. Thank you so much. Now it's my pleasure to introduce our speaker for today, the Honourable Margaret McQuaig Boyd, Minister of Energy. The Minister represents the Northern Alberta riding of Dunvegan. Have I got that right? Dunvegan Central, Peace Notley. That's quite a handle. A longtime resident of the Peace Country, she was appointed Minister of Energy by Premier Notley in May of 2015. Before being elected to public office, the minister was a teacher and administrator with the Peace River School Division for more than 20 years. She left public education to take an executive position as vice president at the Fairview campus of Grand Prairie Regional College. Minister McQuaig Boyd left the college in June 2013 to start a consulting company to support small and medium-sized businesses. She then graduated from the University of Alberta with a bachelor degree in education and holds a master degree in administration and leadership from San Diego State University. The minister and her husband, Dan, live on a farm in the Fairview area. They have two adult children, Jocelyn and Tyson, and I'd like you to please help me welcome Minister McQuaig Boyd today.
Thank you very much, Kathy, for that wonderful introduction. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's really a privilege to be here today to join you for your Lunch and Learn, and I'm especially excited because my daughter is a member of Kapla. In fact, she's here somewhere, this version. Yeah. Oh, there she is. So this is the first time I've been able to speak in front of a relative. So she's my oldest daughter and has lived in Calgary for a long time, and I think been a land administrator, I'm thinking 9 years now-ish, yeah? So thank you to the association's executive for this invitation to attend. So Kapla members, I know, are dedicated to ongoing education and improvement. Education is always near and dear to my heart, and I like to see that when groups continue, especially in these times, doing professional development on a regular basis. Those values have been deeply ingrained in this association for more than 20 years. That's why CAPLA has been a trusted partner with Alberta Energy for so long and a good provider of expert advice. And that's why I'm really happy that our relationship will continue under my watch as Energy Minister. We will continue to keep consulting with you so we can understand the technical issues producers face and be good partners to a sector that does so much to fuel prosperity for Albertans. Of course, our government is far from alone in getting the benefits of CAPLA's experience. You keep Alberta's energy industry running smoothly. Often people, I don't think, realize the work you do. Behind the oil rigs, the heavy haulers, and the hard hats are the association specialists, trained in everything from land administration to transport to environment management. It's no exaggeration to say that without you, the oil might just sit in the ground. That's not what our government wants, of course. We are an energy province, and we will remain and continue to be an energy province. I know you're interested to hear what the government's plans are to position this province for the future and to tackle some of the persistent problems that have hindered our energy industry. So today I'm glad to speak about that. A little more than a month ago, our government released the first ever budget. And it's organized around three priorities: stabilizing public services, returning to balanced budgets, and promoting jobs and diversification. I want to draw your attention to the first priority, which is stability. We put it first for a reason. So with the economy shedding jobs and growth slipping, we all know that Albertans want stability most during an economic downturn. Businesses like stability too. They want a government to maintain a predictable economic environment, so they can lead the recovery and invest in jobs and growth. We are listening and we are responding to what we've heard. We know people are hurting in Alberta. Oil is selling at less than 50% of what it did last year in its peak. Producers are deferring major investments, and the entire web of service companies that support them are feeling the strain. This is not only inflicting damages on executives in downtown Calgary, mums and dads in small towns across the province, people who rely on the industry to earn a living and provide for their families, are also feeling the impact. So our energy policies will be based on the prosperity and stability and predictability that Albertans, businesses and investors need. You can see the mindset in the two panels we have set up. First, my panel, the one near and dear to me, is the Royalty Review. The Royalty Review panel is working to ensure Albertans that the royalty system serves Albertans' best interests by providing optimal returns to the owners of the resources, Albertans themselves. But the review is also considering methods of generating fresh investment as well as promoting responsible development and value-added diversification. Our government has no desire to make things more difficult for producers. The panel is taking into account current economic conditions and cost pressures. And we didn't launch it with any preconceived notions about the outcome. There is no assumption that rates will rise. We appointed a knowledgeable leader, Dave Mowat, the president and CEO of ATB Financial, and members were selected for their skills and background. I'm sure everyone knows the first panel member, Peter Terzakian, nationally recognized energy economist. Another panel member is Leona Hansen, who's from up my way. She's the mayor of Beaver Lodge, and she's seeing firsthand in her area the effects the oil patch slowdown has on small communities. Rounding out the panel is a lady named Dr. Annette Trimby, who was a former Deputy Minister of Finance, and she brings key perspectives around government finances and policy making. We ask them to listen and learn and provide us with the best advice on how we can ensure our royalty system is optimized for everyone involved, industry, investors, and Alberta families. And they have been meeting with industry for many months now, and interest in Albertans in doing just that. So far, the panel has engaged in tens of thousands of people through industry meetings, public sessions, telephone town halls, and a dedicated website. Their work wraps up this month. I hope you had an opportunity in one way or another to be part of the panel. The panel wanted to hear from as many Albertans as possible in order to reach sensible and balanced conclusions. And I'll put in a plug, if you haven't, you've got probably a couple more days on the website. However, regardless of what the panel recommends, our government will make no changes to the royalty system before the end of December 2016. And when we do make decisions, you and all Albertans will know well before that date. And they will be founded on hard evidence, and you will understand the reasoning. There won't be any surprises, and that's a promise we've made to industry from the first days. On climate change, our government has been equally practical with the climate change panel, which was led by Dr. Andrew Leach and included energy sector professionals. Climate change is one of the world's biggest problems, and it's an opportunity for us in Alberta to rehabilitate our image on the international stage. And it will help us to finally get a new pipeline to Tidewater built. As Murray Edwards recently said, for too long we've been playing checkers when we should have been playing chess. The opposition to pipelines has always been something of a proxy war, and it was one Alberta wasn't addressing in a meaningful way, and it wasn't getting pipelines going. It was our way of doing things. By addressing concerns about our emissions head-on with a real plan, we're hopeful we can put this issue to rest, drop the drama, and finally get a pipeline built. In addition to getting a pipeline built, addressing climate change just is the right thing to do for us, our children, and our grandchildren. Our goal is to become one of the world's most progressive and forward-leading energy producers. We want to protect our children and put Alberta in a more sustainable footing and keep capital here in Alberta. We're going to put capital to work, investing in new technologies, better efficiencies, and new job-creating investments in green infrastructure. So how are we going to do that? First, Alberta is going to move away from coal and towards cleaner power. We will phase coal emissions by 2030 and replace it with new renewable power and natural gas. Our goal is to achieve up to 30% renewable energy by 2030. We will keep the cost of renewables as low as possible and work with Alberta energy generators to implement these goals. Second, we will put a price on carbon. We will phase in the climate change panel's $30 per ton economy-wide price of carbon recommendation. A price on carbon provides an incentive for us all, including large industrial emitters, to reduce greenhouse gas pollution that causes climate change. The Alberta carbon price will be fully recycled back to the Alberta economy. To that end, revenue will be reinvested directly into measures that reduce pollution, into clean research and technology, green infrastructure like public transit, helping finance the transition of renewable energy, and efficiency programs to help people reduce their energy use. We know how important the energy industry is to our province, and that is why it is crucial the panel work with technical energy industry experts. On the advice of those leaders, there is also an overall oil sands emissions limit of 100 megatons, plus a provision for new upgrading and cogeneration. Our economy will continue to grow by applying technology to reduce our carbon output per barrel and encouraging new collaborative conversations about Canada's energy infrastructure and its merits as responsible resource developers. Our climate change plan also includes action to reduce methane emissions and implement our energy efficiency program. Our plan is achievable, it is transparent, and it is careful. Because we know that what we do on royalties and climate change affects every sector, which affects all Albertans. It's essential we get it right because we are going to be one of the world's most progressive and environmentally responsible energy producers. Our plan will get us there. It will open doors for energy products and foster new relationships around the world. Alberta is an export-driven economy. And one of the reasons for today's difficult fiscal reality is that producers just can't get their oil to buyers overseas. I know the demand is there. 2 months ago, I led a delegation to China, and I was amazed by their enthusiasm for our energy. China is evolving at an incredible speed, and they need reliable resources to power their transformation. They believe Alberta can be that supplier, and so does our government. We have to get those pipelines built. Pipelines that move our oil to market are critical for jobs, growth, investment, both provincially and nationally. And we won't be shy about saying that. Premier Notley and I are determined to work with companies and other provinces to move pipeline projects forward. Fortunately, there's a mechanism in place to facilitate cooperation. The Canadian Energy Strategy was finalized this past summer by all of our country's premiers. It stems from a recognition that Canada is rich in energy, that we ought to develop our resources responsibly, and that failing to do so is failing to ensure Canadians benefit from all the resources that they own. Governments now have a strong framework to collaborate and overcome the challenges associated with energy development. Market access for Alberta oil is one of the most challenges for us. And we committed to productive, drama-free discussions on pipelines with the new federal government and other provinces and territories. Through the strategy, we will help Alberta's energy producers secure improved market access and return to growth. Low oil prices, market access, royalties, and climate change are the most pivotal issues facing the energy sector. But they're far from the only ones. And our government will not neglect other industry concerns. Land administration professionals know that every detail matters, and so do we. Whether the energy sector's challenges are small or large, long-term or short, our government is treating them with the seriousness that they deserve. And there are challenges. The world is changing, as are the expectations surrounding oil. There are challenges to confront and responsibilities that must be met. And there are opportunities to be seized. At the same time, producers need stability and certainty, as do investors, who back them. And the businesses and people who depend on them, people like CAPLA's members. There is no one-size-fits-all answer, and I can't predict the future. Wish I could. But I can say that our government will do the utmost to shape the future for the benefit of all Albertans. And the energy industry will remain at the heart of it, creating prosperity and growth. Our government will speak up for you and your partners. We will be your partner with you to defend your interests. We will support the energy industry. And we support jobs and families, because that's the Alberta way. Thank you. I believe there's some questions to be asked. There you go.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you again for coming to speak to our membership today. We asked our members back in early November to provide us with some questions that they'd like to ask you directly. Mm-hmm. You touched on many of the subjects, but we'd like you just to delve a little deeper and give us maybe some details of some of these questions. The first question I'm going to ask you is, the government's site devoted to the royalty review understandably is focused on the royalty regime. Yet we know that there is a relevant larger system, the province's fiscal system, consisting of the royalty structure, taxation, land sale bonus, and fees that will affect the economy as a whole and the industry in particular. Is the government reviewing other elements of the current fiscal system?
No, I think you named most of them. Certainly in the royalty review panel, you know, our mandate to them was to look at all the costs, so certainly those have been factored in. And industry, from the first time we were meeting, said to us, make sure that you understand all the costs involved. And so we've oh gosh, we've been meeting with industry since just about the first day I was minister, and trying to understand all the costs and cost pressures that they face. So that's part of in the royalty review and in the climate change to understand all the pressures facing industry. So I'm not sure if that's exactly what you were looking for in the answer.
Thank you for that answer. I've got another question on the royalty review. The province's oil and gas industry is in a state of uneasiness, awaiting and speculating what the outcome of the ongoing royalty review will be. News items that have recently come out, so that would have been in November or early November, late October, suggest the government is adopting an attitude of letting the industry fend for itself. How accurate is that view?
No, I don't think that's very accurate from my viewpoint. We've certainly, from the first, when I started meeting with industry, we introduced ourselves as wanting to be partners, collaborative partners, and so I would ask, tell me about your business, what are your pressures, costs, that. What's your advice to us about the royalty structure and review, and how can we work together with you in government? So certainly in my conversations with industry, that's where we've been going, and to be collaborative partners, because sometimes industry needs us to, you know, work in the political angle with our partners in other provinces, and we need to hear from industry what how things work for them, and we need to work together.
And we hope that you consider CAPLA a partner and you'll tap into us for our information and knowledge.
Absolutely.
Another question. The Calgary-based Canada West Foundation warned in April 2013 that Alberta is running up against the pipeline capacity wall in 2016 when it will have barrels of oil that can't move to market. How does the NDP government plan to manage this challenge?
Great question. I think in 2013 things certainly did look a little rosier than they do now. So it's slowed down a bit, so we still do have pipeline capacity. But as I mentioned in my speech, pipelines are critical for us. I always say Alberta would be the absolute perfect province if we had tidewater, but we don't. So building a harbour is apparently problematic to go through those mountains, so we need pipelines and we need market access. So we're working very hard for pipelines both east and west, because we know when things ramp up, we're going to need that pipeline capacity.
Thank you. Aside from the widely publicized commitment to reducing greenhouse gas emissions and climate control, what is the NDP government doing to combat the negative image surrounding energy production in this province and across Canada to promote Alberta's energy sector nationally and internationally?
Well, there's a few things we're doing. Certainly our climate leadership plan, I think, is going to really help. You know, real or perceived, we all know we have a pretty good system here in Alberta, but sometimes the outside world doesn't know that. And I always know where somebody's writing an article from when they refer to it as the tar sands as opposed to the oil sands. We know they're not from Alberta when they say that. So perception is that we have an industry that appears to not be as green as maybe we'd like. So I think our leadership strategy is going to help. But I think another thing, and I've talked to CAP and some other groups, and you might be another group that wishes to partner, is how do we get those messages out to the world that we have a lot of good things going on in our industry that we fail to maybe brag about, and we should. So I see that as a role government can play, because sometimes when industry tries to tell their story, nobody believes them. And so I think this our climate change leadership strategy is going to help us create some good stories. And in my world, I'd like us to, you know, I was talking like the Alberta beef. You know, if you're coming to Alberta, everybody always says, make sure you have some of that Alberta beef while you're here. I would like our Alberta oil to be as revered as Alberta beef. And, you know, if it's created in Alberta, it's very green. It's very environmentally responsibly produced. Those are some ones.
That'd be great. Okay. Regarding the approximately 36,000 Albertans, I think it's more now, that are currently out of work, what is the NDP government going to do to provide support and assistance to those Albertans who are out of work due to the challenges in the oil and gas industry in Alberta?
Yeah, well, certainly one job gone is too much, and we're seeing a rise, and industry tells me we're not there yet. There's going to be more job losses, sadly. So layoffs are always difficult. You know, some thankfully are finding other work, but there's many that aren't. And so we've got in our government, I guess we have a couple areas where they're helping. One is job skills training and labor. You know, we'll work with folks and also with human services to maybe retrain or regroup. You know, they can help with something as simple as resume writing up to, you know, searching for a new job or a new career path. Also, our government created a new ministry recently, the Economic Development and Trades, and we're going to be, one of the files under that is going to be a job creation program to help incent industry to take workers in. And we, and I, as recently as yesterday, was talking to the minister about how can we involve the energy industry in that move forward. So not very short term, like those are some short term things. That program will be a bit more long term, but certainly looking to help people stay here in Alberta. We need to keep all our skilled workers as much as possible here, because we know things are going to pick up again. And one other thing I might mention is Minister Sigurdsson, who's in charge of advanced education as well, has created the more seats in the college system or the post-secondary system. So one that's near and dear to me is apprenticeship, because that's what we did at my campus. And it used to be, and it frustrated me, was when times were hot, we would be given more apprenticeship seats. And when times were low, those would be clawed back. And to me, that was counter-cyclical. So our minister has reversed that trend. So right now, she's opened up new seats in technical training areas. So right now, if people are laid off, you know, they have the opportunity to maybe go and retrain or continue their apprenticeship and get it done so they're ready for when we need those skilled workers.
Do you have an idea of when you can expect the job creation programs to come online?
It's being developed, and I believe it'll be in 2017 for the one portion. The other STEP program was brought back, so that one should be ready for this summer. Now, that may not be helpful for this industry, but it'll be helpful for getting some of our kids to work for the summer at least. So.
I have another question on job losses again. What is the provincial government doing to assist with retraining opportunities for people who are now out of work, may not be able to return to their jobs in oil and gas, but keeping them in oil and gas for when we're ready, when oil prices go back up?
Well, I think one of the options certainly is like in the post-secondary system. A lot of people, if they do have that journeyman certificate, are finding work. But I know, I have to say up our way, I know of people who maybe disrupted their training partway through because times were hot and they could get a pretty good job without having that journeyman certificate. So they have an we're creating opportunities to go back and finish that work now or maybe go into another sector within that and encouraging those folks to, you know, that's one option for them. So looking at providing training and skill development so we don't lose people. Certainly, there are always talks about mobility of jobs, you know, between provinces, so maybe they can go work in BC till it gets better and come back home. You know, there's things like that. That's always been kind of ongoing, but I think the training part is really important, and that's one we're pushing.
I'll just add a little bit to that question, because I'm not sure it was phrased exactly. So, that is that there is concern that with all the people, the job losses in oil and gas and in mm-hmm. land administration and analysis, when those people are not working for a while, we don't want to lose them. We don't want to come back with higher oil prices in a year, 2 years, and discover that all of that knowledge and experience is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is more around how can we keep those people engaged without moving them along to a different industry?
Yeah, good question. From our perspective, I think trying to encourage and develop the training aspect and help people, you know, maybe find alternate work to stay in the province. I know a lot of companies, this isn't what we're doing, but a lot of companies are trying to keep a core of their skilled trades people or skilled workers just so they are ready. And, you know, they've skinnied down as much as they can, but there's certain ones they're not losing. Don't know if I have a definitive answer for that, but we're certainly trying from the training aspect to make it easier for people to up their skills or complete their training, you know, until such time as they're needed. But it is a concern that we'll lose some of our skilled folks to other provinces. Sadly, though, our neighbor provinces are going through the same thing. So would welcome any comments or advice you have from your group to...
We'll see if we can come up with...
Yeah, I was going to say that might be a question when I'm out visiting with industry. What can we do to further that?
Leaving that topic for a minute, considering the increased importance of investment needed to assist with repaying the $6.1 billion deficit, how does the new NDP budget encourage investment in the energy sector?
Well, I think by providing some stability, knowing where we're going in the climate leadership and royalty review going forward, I think once industry has those numbers, there's still the factor of the oil price, which is out of our control, but part of the royalty review has been to, can you give us some thoughts about incentivizing or how can the structure work for creating new projects or new, you know, create new value chains, maybe through economic development. So we're going to be looking at those ideas as well and see. We are certainly talking to investors all the time, and they want to know, you know, that piece, but they also want to know, if they could, as we could, where those oil prices are going. So it's little tough decisions for everybody right now, but we have had some pretty positive conversations with investors who I think are prepared to look at investing in Alberta, and certainly my trip to China, there's a lot of potential investment coming into our province from there if we continue our talks with them, and again, one of the critical pieces for them is knowing that we could get those pipelines going.
Okay, thank you. Why is the government, another question for you, why is the government committed to exposing the sector to greater risk by advocating for more upgrading and refining?
Well, I think that's part of our promise to look at value add or diversification in our province. We know what happens when we rely on one commodity, as we have. You know, this is the worst downturn in my lifetime. So if we have some other added value chains here, that might provide some stability in tougher times where, you know, I see some industries that aren't being hit quite as hard right now as the oil and gas sector. So we're looking at those ideas, and again, those are hopefully things we can develop. So upgrading is just one, but it's part of the value-added piece. There is a refinery being built right now, as you know, the Northwest Upgrader, and now called the refinery, so we may not need new refineries in the next while, but we may need, you know, new ways to upgrade or, you know, get that, get more value for us here in Alberta. So those are the things we're looking at right now.
Thank you. This is the last question.
Okay.
A little more technical. When will the shallow rights reversion be implemented for companies who want to lease those rights and for the Albertan Crown companies who are missing out on these substantial revenues? These areas would generate considerable needed income. What has been the delay?
That one I actually don't know the answer to. I may have to get back to you on that. I don't have the details to that one. I apologize.
We can follow up with you and find,
find
the right connection.
Yeah. Yeah, I apologize. I don't have a clear answer for you on that one, but I certainly will get an answer back to you.
We also have another technical question that was just handed to me, and I know that you're probably not prepared with all the technical...
That's okay. I'll get you an answer if I don't know.
It is asking about consultation with the industry and suggesting that no steps have been taken to liaise and consult with the small cap LLR group, where the small cap historically represented 56% of work done in the province. Asking what you're going to do to consult with industry on that topic.
You know, that's a good suggestion. We've been meeting, you know, with our view on royalty reviews, but moving forward, we will be meeting with those companies. That's a great suggestion. That's a group we haven't met with and discussed, so I commit that we will meet with those folks and listen to how we can work together.
Okay. Well, we'll follow up with you on
that. Yeah, that would be great.
Thank you very much. No. That's the end of the question.
No, thank you, and I'll get back to you with that one answer.
On behalf of the land professionals, who are the Canadian Association of Petroleum Land Administration, thank you for sharing your comments with us today. CAPLA looks forward to continuing as a collaborative partner, working together with you and your ministry in the ongoing conversations that concern Canada's and Alberta's energy future. As a small token of our appreciation, I hope you'll accept a small box of quality chocolates.
You have to ask me twice.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks
very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Thank you for having us.
That's okay.
That would be great. Let me.